Our scripture this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deed, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've spent the last several weeks talking about what community is called to be in the church. As people of God, what kind of community should we have? What are some of the markers of this community? We've talked about community as peculiar, hopeful, serving, Christ-centered, and reconciling. And this morning, we're going to discuss community as encouraging. Now, I know that there are parts of encouraging community that are going to sound really good to us. We would want a community that tells us that we're doing a good job, a community that tells us that we can accomplish whatever it is we are trying. But there's more to being encouraging than just saying nice things. Because within the idea of encouraging is the idea of accountability. We're called to encourage each other to be better, to change what needs to be changed. We're called to encourage right and holy living, and to guide each other back when we stray from that. Our book that we're following for this series, in every chapter, the author provides what he calls a false narrative and a true narrative about what the church believes about that given type of community. I thought the ones for this chapter were particularly good. The false narrative that community believes when it comes to being encouraging is that the community exists to serve me and my needs, and so the community shouldn't tell me what to do. Too often, we fall into this trap of thinking this about church. The church should do things we like, we think. The church should take care of me. The church should sing the songs I like. They should offer Bible studies that are nice but not too challenging at times that are convenient for my schedule. And somebody from the church should always be there for me, no matter what is going on in their lives. But that's not really what church is supposed to be. Instead, the true narrative in the chapter when it comes to encouraging community is this. The community shapes my life. The church shapes our lives. We can be encouraged and held accountable here because this isn't the place that serves our wants, but the place that guides our transformation in Christ. That's the picture we get from this scripture this morning as well. In this brief section from the letters to the Hebrews, the writer is calling the people to holy living in community. He wants them not to give up the habit of meeting together, but to continue to gather together in order to encourage each other. And this is nice and good instruction, but the real thing we want to look at here is why and how we're called to do this. That's what comes first. We can be an encouraging community. We can be a community that holds one another accountable because of the promise of who we are in Christ that's already true for each and every one of us. Let's look at those first verses from Hebrews again. It starts by saying, therefore, my friends, since we have confidence. Now, this confidence is not just something we carry around by ourselves or something that we work to get. It's confidence not about us being great, but confidence in the work of Christ in our lives. So it continues, We have the confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. So what this is saying is all this confidence, all our ability to encourage, all our call to accountability, it all comes from the death and resurrection of Christ. We can live a better life. We can draw others into holy living. Because holy living isn't just about us working really hard. Holy living is us living into who we already are because of the work of Christ on the cross. The blood of Christ has forgiven us. The resurrection of Christ has opened the curtain for us to have a relationship with God. So now live better is what our scripture is saying. Because of what Christ has already completed in your life, live better. You can do it. You're called to do it. And you're called to encourage others. You're called to be held accountable and to hold others accountable. So what does that look like? Well, I love this paragraph from our book where the author describes it. He writes about this type of community. He says, "I want a community who will take interest in my well-being, a community who is not afraid to ask me to make a commitment to my own spiritual growth and service to others, a community who dares to offer me a reliable pattern of transformation, and then backs it up by challenging me to enter into some form of accountability in order to help me meet our commitments. I want a community who will challenge me to become who I already am, one in whom Christ dwells and delights, a light to the world, salt to the earth, the aroma of Christ to a dying world. I want a community who reminds me of who I am and will watch over me with love, which means both offering comfort and warning so that I might live a life worthy of my calling." At my last church, there was a ministry called Connections on Tuesday night that was for middle school and high school age kids. They are most all kids that didn't come to our church on Sunday morning, but they'd gather on Tuesday night for dinner, for basketball in the gym, and for a Bible study. A lot of the kids would just ride their bikes over to the church after they were done with school, and we would just kind of let them hang out there until dinner time. One winter evening, the kids came after school with clear skies, and then, as often happens in Ohio, it quickly started to snow. By the time the evening was over, several inches had fallen, and it was still coming down quickly. Normally, our adult volunteers would give rides home to kids that needed it, and they told the kids that night that if they had ridden their bikes to church, they could give them a ride home, but they weren't going to be able to fit the bikes in their cars. So they'd have to leave their bikes at church and come back for them once the snow stopped. Several kids decided to leave their bikes, but one kid was adamant he was going to make it home on his bike. So they take all the other kids home, and one of our volunteers tells me later that he's driving home by the church and after dropping kids off, and he sees a few blocks away from the church this car driving really slowly down the road. As he gets closer, he realizes it's one of the other volunteers. So he stops to check to make sure nothing is wrong, and he realizes that this woman is driving next to the kid with his bike. There's too much snow, so the kid's just walking his bike slowly down the sidewalk through several inches of snow. And this woman is driving next to him and has her window open, snow coming in, and she just keeps talking to him. "How are you doing?" he says. She says, "I'm a little cold," he says. "You can do it," she says. "You can make it. You can get home." And she drives by him until he gets back home. When I think back on this story, I think that's what an encouraging community is supposed to be. A community that walks along each other in hard times. A community that walks with others as they move through the journey of faith. A community that challenges and holds accountable. Because there's a little more to this story. This kid, you see, he wasn't the easiest kid, in case you didn't pick that up by walking his bike home in a snowstorm. But through situations like this, these adults showed them that they cared. And so when he got close to the end of his senior year and it didn't look like he was going to graduate high school, you know who held him accountable? You know who challenged him to make it? You know who made sure he turned in his homework? Those adults. Because those who encourage also hold accountable. So what does this kind of encouragement and accountability look like for us? Well, the author of the book provides three markers of encouraging community. First, we remind each other who we are. This is often what we might think of as traditional encouragement. We remind others that they belong to Christ. We remind others that they are forgiven. We remind each other of the hope found in Christ. We do this often through our words. I want you to think about times in your life that you've been told verbally or maybe through a written note that you matter, that you are important, that you're doing good work, that you are appreciated. We hold on to those times in our souls, don't we? Because they mean something to us. And so as an encouraging community, we are to remind each other who we are. And then second, we show each other what we can be. A lot of this involves speaking aloud the gifts and the goodness that you see in others. Is there somebody in your small group that you think would make a really good leader of a small group? Well, tell them that. Is there somebody who sits near you at church who you think has the gifts for a ministry that you're already involved in? Well, tell them that. Or maybe there's a young person you know who you could see making a really good teacher or nurse or engineer or even pastor. Tell them that. We're called to show each other what we can be. And then finally, we're called to have the courage to hold each other accountable. Now, it's rare that we take seriously our call to accountability as a church. Too often as a church, we either are too permissive and easygoing about each other, or instead of accountability, we err to judgment. But accountability is actually a good and necessary part of our faith. One more quote from the book chapter, which, if you can't tell, I really liked this week. You should just get the book just to read this chapter. Our author writes, "We often think of accountability as a negative thing, as an interaction of tough love. But in reality, it's as much about the art of encouragement as it is about the art of keeping tough expectations. There's so much in life that beats us down and discourages us that we need a steady dose of encouragement. We each need a fellow Christ follower who's absolutely convinced that we are great and can do great things. We each need fellow apprentices who applaud us when we succeed and pull us up when we fail." Accountability is a mix of encouragement and admonishment. Accountability is a call to be better. I've been blessed with two friends who hold me accountable. We met because we all started being pastors at the same time, and they make everybody who's starting to be a pastor in our area go to this week-long school in May. The three of us were pretty much the only three young women there, and we all needed friends, and so we decided we would be friends. We decided that we would video chat each week. I'm not sure why we decided that, and I don't think any of us thought that it would still be going 9 years later. But every Wednesday night from 9 to 11 o'clock, we talk. At this point, between the three of us, we've been through 2 weddings, 3 kids, 5 moves, one across the country to Seattle, 11 churches, and countless situations of encouragement and accountability. We've walked through with each other through so many "they never taught me that in seminary" moments. We've cried with each other. We've celebrated with each other. We've challenged each other. We've asked each other the hard questions. Is this really the best decision for you? Is that the most faithful way to live? Is that the best boundary to have? I need their friendship and their accountability in my life to make me the best follower of Christ I can be. And so I want to offer you this challenge this morning. It's not an easy challenge by any means, but I want to challenge you to find a person to hold you accountable. It can be somebody you know well, or somebody that you want to know better but trust to listen and share. It probably shouldn't be your spouse or other family member. It's definitely not going to be your pastor. I already have my people, and Pastor Dave does too. Now, you might say, well, what should I do if I find this person or persons? How do we hold each other accountable? Well, John Wesley, our Methodist founder, he has a method for this as well. He offers us three questions to ask. They're going to be up here on the screen. You don't have to do all these questions. You don't have to do them every time you meet, but they're a guide for you. The first question is, how is your soul? So what's going on in your life and how are you responding to it deep within inside you? Are you feeling despair? Are you feeling joy? Are you feeling guilt? Are you feeling regret? Second, in what ways do you need to be encouraged right now? Where in life are you struggling? Where do you need somebody to walk alongside you in encouragement? And then what, if anything, is holding you back from more fully living for God? Where can you do better? Where can you be better? How do you need another person to help you to do that? Now, I want to be clear. This is not the church asking you to do something that's going to be easy. This is the church asking you to commit to something that's real and that's challenging. But it's also something that will change your life. So write these questions down or take a picture of the screen with your phone right now. I already saw somebody doing that, so they get bonus points. And then pray about who you should have as your partner. Pray hard. And then ask somebody, and only commit if you can be serious about it. Accountability is not for those looking for easy faith. Accountability is for those who are committed to life-changing transformation. Accountability is what we are called to do because of what Christ has already done for us. We are to be in a community that encourages. And we do that by reminding each other who we are. We do that by showing each other what we can be. And we do that by having the courage to hold each other accountable. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the work that you have already done in our lives through Christ. We thank you that through Christ's death and resurrection, through Christ's promise of salvation, we can live a life that follows after you. And Lord, as we follow you, guide us to be those who encourage others to do the same. Let us remind each other who we are. Let us show each other what we can be. And let us have the courage to hold each other accountable. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.